So how did automobiles influence city planning in the 20th century?
Well, the short answer is everything went lower and became spread out farther. So at a rate that almost didn't make sense. And when the automobile came in, the car made it obviously possible to travel farther. And so you would have people who would live an hour or two away from where they would work. And the problem with that is that cities started to grow horizontally at an exaggerated rate. And the primary issue, of course, is that there wasn't a correlation between how far cities grew horizontally and the amount of people living in the city. A very good example is Chicago, where the population of Chicago grew 30%, but the city itself grew 300% horizontally. Of course, the more you're traveling in a car, the more you're contributing to various climate issues and the carbon footprint and so on and so forth. And of course, in addition to that, then you have a separation between, you know, a vehicle and a pedestrian. And so the cities became designed for cars and not for the actual users, which are the people.
So what are some of the challenges that we face now as a result of most cities being so deeply invested in this particular type of urban planning?
Well, it's a very good question. The primary challenge is that cities are now both not able to adapt to a changing climate because they're built on this notion of a repetitive form. The paradox is, of course, that they're not able to adapt to a changing climate, which they themselves have been the leading contributor to. So the UN states that 70% of greenhouse gas emissions are from cities built in the 20th century. And the cities that are contributing to these greenhouse gases are not able to change. And so now you see a lot of instances where a changing climate, such as flooding, fires, hurricanes, and so on and so forth, are decimating cities, specifically cities that were planned in the 20th century. And so this is a major challenge, because how do you solve something that you yourself are contributing to or have created? And so that's a problem with the legacy of the 20th century cities that we are living in today.
Yeah, I mean, when did we first kind of stumble across the broader impacts of these issues, and what should we be considering in the future of city planning to deal with them when the cities are already built? You know, how do we go about it when we can't just completely reset back to square one?
Fantastic questions. Honestly, fantastic questions. Because these are the questions that many, many researchers are paying hundreds of millions of dollars to try and solve. The beauty is that the actual critique of these cities was not recent. It was actually closer to their inception. So the cities started to emerge in the 1920s and 30s, this idea of let's design city around the car. But by the 1950s and 60s, the first strong criticism emerged against these cities. Now, back then, of course, the impact of these cities on a changing climate were not as apparent that they are today. And so the criticism back then was, funnily enough, is that these cities are designed like machines. And so what's happening is that we are losing the cultural identity. You're building a city in Chicago, and you're building the same city in Chandigarh in India. You've lost what makes a city a city. Well, you've lost what makes people belong to a city. And so that's how early the criticism came. And then now, as we start to understand more about these cities, and as the UN starts to take more climate action against these cities, we understand, well, no, it's more than just the cultural identity loss. It's climate. And the truly, truly very important impact of these cities have on the future of our planet. So then the question is, well, what's the future? How do we move forward from here?
Yeah.
My opinion is that the first thing that we need to do, of course, is stop building cities the way they have been built in the 20th century. It cannot get clearer than this. The problem is, of course, that, again, going back to the paradox, you have massively exponentially growing numbers of people who want to live in cities. And so, funnily enough, the easiest way to house these people is to use the model of the 20th century, because the model of the 20th century was repetitive, easy to build, and you didn't have to design something specific to its environment or context. Again, you can build a city in Chicago or Chandigarh at a drop of a dime. Hmm. So we need to stop that.
Yeah.
At first. Right? So as easy as that sounds, not that easy. The second part is then, well, let's see how cities were designed before the 20th century. How were cities designed? How were cities able to adapt to a changing climate? Or how did cities not contribute so much to greenhouse gas emissions and the Earth's carbon footprint. And you see that the primary difference is that those cities were built upon the notion of variation, not repetition. Of course, we understand why repetition is important, because you can build it quicker. But variation is also important, because then you can adapt easier. If one part of the city doesn't work, then it doesn't necessarily mean the entire city will fail.
Yeah.
That just means that the other 70% of the city can still work, because it's not exactly the same as that 30% part.
Yeah, well, one of the questions I was going to ask is, if we were to plan a city from scratch now, what would it look like? But it sounds like part of the issue is that planning a city outside of these 20th century ideals has to be specific to the place and the people that are going to be there. So how does that practically grow to a scale? How can we plan a city from scratch if it has to be tailored but still have that, you know, 20th century efficiency you were referring to?
Another excellent question. So if we were to repeat the model of the pre-20th century cities, we cannot, because those cities were built over longer periods of time. They didn't have these stresses of we need to build a city within 2 years because there's 2 million people that need to be housed. And so they were able to build a city along a longer period of time, and it could evolve. We can't do that now. However, in the past 10 or 15 years, technology has exploded, and we now have the tools that are able to replicate these processes that took centuries pre-20th century to build a city. We can replicate them digitally within a couple of hours. The beauty from that process is that now we can understand and go to nature, because nature has solved the problem. The problem we're facing is, how does someone adapt to an unforeseeable future or a continuously changing future? Well, species have solved that. Species continuously evolve and adapt to changing environments. Of course, some species go extinct, and thus you have some cities that go extinct. But the species that do not go extinct, we can learn from those species and learn from how they adapt. The beauty is that with the technological innovations that we have now, that we can replicate these evolutionary processes within a couple of hours on a normal laptop.
Yeah.
And design cities that aim to imitate and replicate these natural systems, and hopefully create cities that are able to adapt and evolve.
Alrighty. Well, Mohammed, thank you so much for answering questions that, as you say, are, you know, questions that millions of dollars are being poured into with a reason and stability that I think is admirable for how tough the questions were that were being asked.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us here on the Thursday
Thanks
Daily.
Very much. Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.